Hello, this is Dr. Vrinda Dave, publisher of Savvy Biz Women magazine, and it is my great pleasure to bring to you today Ed Carcary. He's a sales trainer and a professional motivational speaker specializing in the subject of passion. He has owned and operated 8 different businesses and has been nationally recognized for his sales accomplishments. He's been training sales groups throughout California for the last 15 years. So please join me in welcoming Ed. I am so excited to have you here today.
Good morning. How are you doing?
I'm just doing great. And I just want to dive right in because, Ed, you've had such an interesting history, right? Like your journey has been really fascinating. I think you are truly the epitome of a self-made man, as you know, people who've already read your the feature where you talk about your background. So I wanted to take this time to go deeper into, you know, and pick your brain. Like, you know, where can we improve ourselves and our businesses? Where does passion come into play there? And what we can do to increase our sales? So I think, you know, this is going to be a very exciting time for us to get into this with you.
I like it. Let's roll.
Okay. So let's start off with, you know, you talk a lot in your work about passion. And I wanted to ask, I mean, there's so many, we hear this a lot, right, that if you pursue your passion, then success is bound to follow, right? But
yes.
What happens when we are confused about what our passion really is? How do we find that? And then for those of us who are entrepreneurs, and I know you know this because you've had business failures, and many, many of us go through the same obstacles, how do we keep those fires burning? How do we keep the passion burning when we're going through those difficult times?
I think let's start with what passion is, because this seems to be where the most confusion is and where we get tripped up the most. We tend to follow the wrong things. And it might seem simple on the front end, but on the back end, it has huge results. Passion is it's always directed to people. It's never directed to things. And this is where we get confused. We'll say things like, Ed, you're really passionate about radio, or Ed, you're really passionate about football. And it might look like that and feel like that, but that's not necessarily true. What I'm passionate about and what you're passionate about is people. That's where passion is directed to. That's what unleashes our purpose, gives us our destiny, and it's a built-in GPS for us. But if we're following the wrong things, even if it's off just by a percentage, by the time we get to our destination, as you know, we're way off. We could miss what we're aiming for by a full continent. So we have to understand it's people that unlock our passion. It's not stuff. It's not money. It's not prestige or power, position. It's not a job, it's not a career, it's not your product or service or your business. It's the people that we serve. That is everything in life. If we can get that right, all the rest of the things that we really desire, that we really want, they fall into place and they actually start to follow us if we would refuse to stop following them. Does that make sense?
Yes, yes. So then if you are passionate about the people you serve, how do you, and you've talked about this in your work as well, right, is how do you even stand out as a brand in the current marketplace?
I believe that part happens once we find, and I'll give you some examples here. I had a friend of mine when we first started out, after getting out of the military 25, 30 years ago now, she was a youth pastor. We had no idea what we were doing, what we wanted to do. We just knew we wanted to start giving back to our community. I had just gotten into sales. She said, you need to help me. I need some help. You and your wife come on Wednesday nights to the youth group. I said yes to this, and I had no idea what I was getting myself into. Didn't know what my passion was. But I watched this woman, Donna, run this youth group, and she was dealing with hardcore youth. And I mean kids that were carrying guns, grew up on the streets, drug addicts. That's who she was targeting. And I would watch her, and she could walk into a gang, just somebody, group on the street, and she could connect with them immediately. Didn't even have to talk. They related to her. They accepted her. Now, when I came with them, it was a different story. They wanted nothing to do with me. And I tell people that was, she had a passion on the inside of her for these youth, and it was unspoken. She didn't even have to speak it. She connected with them. My wife can do this in a senior home. She can walk into one of the homes where the seniors are immobile, they're bedridden, and she can minister them in such a way that is so much different than anything I've ever seen. again, without speaking, she can put people at peace because she has a passion for seniors. But when I walk in the room, I cause turmoil with those same seniors. I want to help. I'm desperate to help them. But there's that energy on the inside of me that sets things off kilter because I'm afraid. Passion will create a brand. If we're in the right place, it will start to create a brand because it draws people to you, the people that you're passionate for. Now, we're called to serve everybody, but there is a specific group that each of us were specifically created for, that the piece of the jigsaw puzzle we fit perfectly with. For my wife, it's seniors. For Donna in the youth ministry, it was at-risk youth. For me, it's the local mom-and-pop entrepreneurs. I fit really well with them. I'll do it for free. I'll stay up at nights. I don't need to be told to do things. And that's what passion is. It will drive us to do things beyond our abilities. And it connects with people on an unspoken level, an emotional level that we can't express in words. We don't understand why it is, but it starts to connect. And that will instantaneously start building a brand.
Wow. I love that. That's really, really two very powerful examples from real life, which I think is wonderful. And so you mentor. How do you mentor the local entrepreneurs in your community?
The same way that I'm mentored. I've learned from my mentors. One of the biggest things that we want to do and what I've been taught to do from my mentors is first you have to find the right mentor. You've got to find the right one that fits. Meaning just anybody with money doesn't make a good mentor or vice versa. I want somebody who has what I want to have and who has been where I want to be and who is willing to work with me and speak into my life. The challenge that we have with good mentors is they care more about our future than our feelings. And that causes problems because a mentor will speak truth to us. They'll tell us what we need to hear, not what we want to hear. Where friends and family are going to tell us what we want to hear. And that can get us into trouble because it feels good, but it doesn't help. So being a good mentor, we have to have been where the people that we're mentoring want to be. We have to have been through that process. We can't be lost in that area. So if I want, say I want to grow my business, my brand, I've got to go to a man or woman who has built businesses and has built a brand the way I want. I want something that has character and integrity. And if that's my value and my belief system, then I have to find somebody like that. And then you set it up between those that you are mentoring, how much time and effort you're going to put in. But the key here is if you're being mentored, always show up prepared, never misuse somebody's time with that, and always do the homework that your mentor is asking you to do. And each time they're going to ask you to do something so that when you come back to them, whether it's weekly you're getting together, monthly you're getting together, you've done and prepared that homework. You've studied, you've researched, whatever they've asked you to do so that you're ready to hit the street running with them because their time is very valuable.
Wonderful. And you have a radio show,
yes,
right? And I'm very excited to hear about what your radio show is all about and how you help people through your radio show.
We spend, every week we do a radio show. It's called Passion is Everything. And it's 30 minutes on our radio station. Happens at 7:30 in the morning every Sunday. We started it about 2.5 years ago and started it because a mentor of mine laid the law down. He knew what my goals and ambitions were, and I'd been dragging my feet for many years about this because I was afraid. I didn't want to get on the radio, and public speaking terrifies me, although that's what I do a lot of, and it still terrifies me. And he finally got fed up with my excuses and said, this is something you have to start. And a week later, we were on the air. I still didn't feel like I was prepared or ready, but we always feel that way when we're launching into something new. And my goal with the radio show was to share with people how to find their passion. Because it took me so long, and I went through so many steps, and I was so discontent for so long until I found it, I wanted to shorten that process for people, and it can be shorter. It doesn't have to be long and arduous. It doesn't have to be that work intensive to find our passion. There's so many clues about it. So every Sunday for 30 minutes, we invest into our community, and we talk about ways to find our passion, clues about passion, and how to maintain it, how to grow it, and then how, most importantly, to infect and start fires in other people, how to become contagious so that we create a revolution, so that we're not, the last Gallup poll I read, it said that the American people, almost 70% of us are unhappy doing what they're doing. That's unbelievable. And because of that, we're losing about $350 billion a year in lost productivity. That tells me America does not need a stimulus package. We don't need more money. our challenge is we have to fall in love with what we're doing. And if we don't love what we're doing, then on our own, our part-time, at nights and weekends, we have to figure out what we love to do and start working on that and building that so that we start loving and being connected with the people that we're working with. We're disconnected now, and it's costing us time, money, and it's costing people their relationships. People are so discontent and frustrated with what they're doing. And I can't imagine working 40 years of our life, getting to the end of the road, taking our last breath and looking at our life and then wondering, what the heck did I do? Did I make a difference? I worked at this job, and yes, I made a lot of money, but I was never really happy. I did it because of the money. That scares me.
70% is a very large number, Ed.
That's a terrifying number, Rhonda. That's a scary number, because that number is only going to grow if we don't start this revolution and help people understand that every single living human being in this world since time began has been built with passion. We are custom made to have a passion. We're all different. We all have different passions, but it's all towards people, and it's there, and there's so many clues. We've got to find it. There's too much at stake.
You know, I suspect that a lot of that discontent comes from American corporate culture, and that's why it's so becoming an entrepreneur now is taking on new meanings. You know, it's taking on a very powerful, both, you know, monetary, yes, but spiritually content feeling, right? It's giving people that content feeling that a lot of the corporate culture that's out there that brought them to higher levels of stress, higher levels of not loving what they do, diminishing their passion, diminishing their motivation. I wish that there was some way that America could address that. You know, that this is not a topic that many people talk about, is that what is the corporate culture of this country and how is it adversely affecting the people who have to live in it?
I think the only way we can address that is starting a fire one person at a time. As we do, that multiplies so quickly, if we will. And what people need is that encouragement. They need to see people like yourself growing this magazine and touching women's lives. They need to see that change because that encourages them. Like, wow, if they can do it, I can do it. And they hear the stories of these men and women in your magazine, and it encourages them and inspires them to take a risk, to take some chances, to invest every day 30 minutes of their time, stealing it from their entertainment time, and invest it in learning about their passion, studying it, researching it, growing, getting better every single day. And what will happen then is the people that are around those people, they'll become inspired and encouraged. And they'll see somebody stop in the corporate world and say, okay, that's enough. I'm not going to be a slave to money or this corporation anymore. I've built something on the side on my part-time. It's less money, but here's where my fulfillment is. And it will grow. And they'll step out, and other people will see that, and they'll become encouraged. And it just starts this wildfire. We just need a few people to start it.
And so what other advice you give on your radio show about how to start that fire around you?
The key is, again, if we understand that passion is always directed towards people, that eliminates 90% of the distractions. I can move away everything else now. I can focus on the people that are around me, and I can understand that these people, there are certain people that just unlock something in me. Something just happens when I'm around them. I learned early on, it started to become really evident when I go shopping with my wife. And I don't know many men that love to go shopping with their wives. But the one thing I love about shopping with my wife is we're going into businesses. My wife would go wandering around the store, and I would be at the cash register talking to the manager, the business owner, or whoever was there, and I'm asking questions because I'm so curious about the business. I want to understand the business, and I'm asking questions. It started to reveal the inside of me, what I was created for. I started to understand that when I'm with business owners, I come alive. This is where I want to be. I will go anywhere, do anything, work any amount of hours just to be around these people. It's pushed me into places, into the political world, where I never wanted to be because I want to help them. I want to help the process in their business. So I will do things that I don't even like to do or want to do because it helps these people. Mm. Everybody, we have these clues about what drives us. They're dominating us all the time. We just have to sit down and look at them a little bit. What are the things that people look at you and they say, wow, I wish I was as good at that as you? You make it look so easy. Now, you were born with it, but you've probably refined that skill or talent. What is it? Because it's a clue. What are the things in the world, the injustices that are happening to people that fire you up? They make you downright angry. What are they? Because that's a clue to your passion. The best thing I can tell you, if you're still having a challenge with it, passion must be caught, not taught. Meaning we can read as many books as we want or listen to a lot of people like myself talk about passion, and that's a great start. It'll give you some insight. But if you truly want to catch it, it's highly contagious. Get around other people who have it. It doesn't matter that their passion is different than yours, and it probably will be, meaning if their passion is directed to different people than it will be for you. Get around them because it gets caught, not taught. And that's what happened to me, a man named Gregorio, when I first started in radio. I've never to this day met somebody as passionate about people as he was. And it took 6 months. I can't tell you the day that it happened. I don't know. I don't remember. There wasn't this instantaneous light that happened to me where I woke up one day. I just remember that all of a sudden I didn't set my alarm clock anymore, and I haven't since now in the 25 years doing this. I wake up every day. I can't wait to get to work. I want to work 7 days a week. I love doing what I'm doing. I couldn't wait now to go and talk to clients where before I dreaded it. I was afraid of it. I was terrified. Everything changed, and it was because I was infected with what he had because I was around him every single day. Best way to catch your passion, get around somebody
powerful.
Who has it.
Very powerful. So, Ed, you're a nationally recognized sales trainer. I wanted to ask you, what are the most common mistakes that you see entrepreneurs making when it comes to sales? And what is your best advice, especially for entrepreneurs who are, say, in the first 2 to 3 years of their business? You know, they're just kind of getting their foothold in becoming an entrepreneur. They're just, you know, they've laid the foundations, and now they're ready for growth.
Number one failure we all make in business is we delegate sales and marketing to somebody else, to the sales and marketing department, to a sales team, to one of our managers. The number one skill set we need is to understand sales and marketing as business owners, as managers, as entrepreneurs, as professionals. I don't care what business we're in or what we're doing, regardless of where we're at on the food chain financially, our number one skill set is to understand sales and marketing. We cannot delegate that off. And sales and marketing, here's where we get tripped up. The reason we don't like it, we don't like the word sales, of course, because we all, that word conjures up in our mind, slick, silver tongue, used car salesman. We think that's it's a bad word. Sales is a four-letter word. We don't want to have anything to do with it. So I tell people, instead of sales, what sales actually means is serving others. So disregard sales. If that word trips you up, then replace it with serving, because serving shouldn't trip you up. That's why we're in business. We're serving humanity. We're serving the people in our community. And all marketing is communicating and connecting. That's what marketing is. It is communicating a compelling message and connecting with people on an emotional level. It's not forcing them to buy something they don't need. That's not sales and marketing. I don't know what that is, but it's not sales and marketing. Sales and marketing is serving people and communicating to them in such a way that we connect with them. If we can understand how to do that, business is so much easier. And for a new businessman or woman just getting started, the way that we do this, it's very simple, but it takes a lot of work. Get involved in your community. Get out there at events. Be seen. Join a board or two. Get involved in networking groups. Put your hand out and shake people's hand and make them feel better about themselves. You bring the referrals. Don't go and join these groups looking for the handout or get on a board for a resume. You go with the sole purpose, I'm going there to serve. I'm going there to help the Boys and Girls Club, the YMCA. I'm going to get on this board because it matches my personality and my passion, and I have skill sets that I can give to them, and that's what I'm there for. I'm there to work. I'm there to serve. The rest of it will follow. We don't like doing that because that's the hard part, getting out there and shaking hands, going to a trade show, working a booth, going to an event, getting up in front of a group of people and speaking, talking to your nonprofits and speaking to them. We don't want to do that because, one, it's public speaking. We're afraid of it. Two, we have to get out there outside of our comfort zones. Very, very difficult, which I totally understand. It's difficult. But if we can do that, we can do anything. The business part of it, building the brand, building your business in that first couple of years in its infancy when it's so critical, if you can do this, you can triple your chances of succeeding.
Wonderful. So let's end with the power of positivity. This is something that is very important to you, right? Passion plus positivity.
Yes.
How does positivity, and we've heard this so much, right, the power of positive thinking, it's been out there for quite a while. You tell me, where do you think in our current situation in 2014, right now, with the world, how do we approach with a different kind of positive mindset, and how do we practice that on a daily basis so that we keep moving forward in a powerful way?
Being positive is absolutely essential to finding your passion. We have to do it, because as a negative person, you'll never see your passion, even if it's sitting right in your face. Because we're going to look down on everything. We're going to find an excuse and a reason. So it's changing that mindset. And becoming positive is the same thing and will take the same amount of effort as to getting into shape. And we don't like that. That's hard. Look at the New Year's resolutions. Number one every year, I want to lose weight and get into shape. And by March, most of us have failed at that. So getting my mind into shape will take the same amount of effort, which means I tell people 30 minutes a day. Start with 30 minutes a day. Read. Educate yourself. Steal from your education. We're watching so much TV, listening to so much radio, reading so many magazines, getting on so much social media, and we're spending our time instead of investing it. So take 30 minutes out of the 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 hours a day that we're entertaining ourselves and listen to positive, motivational, inspirational CDs, read autobiographies or motivational books, especially before you go to bed. 30 minutes a day. Get that information in, because the rest of the day we're getting hit with a lot of negative influences. I'm in the media. I see it. We've been taught for years, unfortunately, that fear sells. So everything is fear-based. You watch the news, and it's all about death, despair, destruction. And we feed on that for 30 minutes, and then we go to sleep, and we wonder why we have nightmares or we can't sleep well. We wonder why we wake up cranky. We're investing all of this stuff into our minds, and it's like eating McDonald's for every single meal. Can you imagine what our bodies would look like if we ate French fries and a Big Mac, breakfast, lunch, and dinner for our entire lives? And that's what we're doing with our minds, with this junk food that we're filling it with. So invest 30 minutes a day. It's a personal responsibility, a personal discipline. We'll have to do it. We have to make that call and start that process. We also have to protect ourselves, because not everybody is going to want to make those changes. And in the beginning, we're fragile in our beliefs in trying to make that change. And the people around us can influence us positively or negatively. So we have to be careful who we're allowing in our inner circle. We have to protect our gates, our eyes and our ears on what comes in, that information. If it's the TV, we've got to turn it off or switch channels or at least limit its access into our lives. The same with friends. And you'll know which friends you can confide in. Just try it one day. Share your goals with them. And the ones who push you up, the ones who are trying to help you, that become a sail, those are the ones that you want to spend more time with. The ones who pull you down and say things like, oh, Ed, you can't do that. You don't have a college degree. Or Ed, you don't have the money for that. Or Ed, you just don't have the experience. Ed, you're too old. Ed, you're too whatever it happens to be. These are the people we want to protect ourselves from. Family and friends, I understand. I'm not saying leave them. I'm saying protect yourself so that we don't hurt ourselves and start believing their message. We need to take baby steps. Take small action every day. It doesn't have to be big, but take some action, because action leads us to the pot of gold at the end of the rainbow. And that pot of gold is our failures. We try to avoid them like the plague. The challenge is that's where success is hidden. It's nowhere else. We have to go through failure. The road to success is paved by our failures. As we fail, we learn. We grow from it. We stop. We think, okay, this is where I made the mistake. I'm going to try again, which means I'm going to repeat the process, taking a baby step, some action. I'm going to fail again. That's inevitable. Action always leads to failure. But the failure, that's the beauty of the equation. That's where the treasure is hidden. If we can go through these processes and then find some good mentors along the way, they'll help us apply them, because your mentor is your coach. Left to my own decisions, I'm going to probably make poor decisions and I'll probably rationalize and let myself off. But a mentor, he or she isn't going to let me. they're going to pull some of the slack out of our chain, like which happened to me a couple of years ago with my radio show. They're just not going to accept the rationalization excuses. They help us to apply the process. Does that make sense?
Yes, absolutely. And since you mentioned, and I think what you're saying is so true, I think people spend so much time entertaining that they don't continue to educate themselves. So is there anything, Ed, that you would recommend that you found very transformational in terms of books or ideas?
Yes, I love everything I get my hands on Rich Dad, Poor Dad. I was turned on to Robert Kiyosaki about 15 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And he's got a lot of different information. For me, I read specifically his information on business and investing. There's a lot of other things that he does that I'm just not interested in. But when it comes to business, mm-hmm. I love what he writes about because he breaks it down into such easy language for me. I love John Maxwell, an author, public speaker. His book, Failing Forward, revolutionized my life. Now, he has many books, but that book is my favorite. Couldn't even number the times I've read it. You can see through the pages now. They're so thin. I love Carmine Gallo.
Forward. That sounds really great.
It is. Because it's chock full of people who have failed. That's what I love. It's inspiring to read these men and women who have overcome such obstacles. And then when I look at my situation, it makes me laugh. I go, I haven't faced anything that they have had to face.
And then you were mentioning one more?
Yes, Carmine Gallo. He's written two books. His first one I loved. It's called Fire Them Up, and it talks about being compelling, how to express your passion in communication. Very insightful, especially if you're in sales and marketing, you're a business owner, which is sales and marketing. Excellent book.
That sounds really great. So tell us, Ed, how would we learn more about you, and how would we work with you?
You can go to my website, edcarcary.com. It's still in its infancy. And I'll spell that for you, too, because Carcary, you're just not going to find that name hardly anywhere. edcarcary.com. On there, you can find some information. I've written some blogs. I have some podcasts there. I do speak mostly in California right now, but I will be branching out as we go further, and I'll be adding more information there. They can email me through there. It'll come directly to me, and I'll contact them immediately if there's anything that I can do to help them, whether it's business or sales and marketing or keynote speaking.
That is wonderful. Thank you so much, Ed, for being here. I really find everything that you talked about very compelling, very inspiring, and I hope that everybody who's listening feels fired up, feels more inspired, and gets out there and really pursues their passion. So thank you for that.
No, thank you. I really appreciate you investing some time with me today, and I look forward to not only reading this issue, but the rest of your issues that you're doing. Love what you and Sherry are doing on the magazine.
Thank you. Thank you so much, Ed. So this is Dr. Vrinda Devay and Ed Carcary signing off. Go out there today, be unstoppable, achieve more than you ever thought possible today.